that's something that I've really been, it's been on my heart a lot lately, is what is faith? You see, so many people out there talk about faith in many different ways. People are always asking, what is faith? And the other question behind that is, how can I grow my faith? If I have faith and it's not very strong, how can I grow it to make it stronger? So tonight, that's what we're going to look at, is what faith is. If you have your Bibles, open up to Hebrews chapter 11. We know this is the Hall of Fame of faith, but it really gives us a good definition in the very first verse. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." You see, faith is something that we truly long for, that we search for, and it's something that we can't see. But it goes on in verse 2, "For by it the elders obtained a good testimony." And it's by faith that we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So the things which we are seeing were not made of the things which are visible. As I've looked at this and really thought about what faith truly is, there's two words that kept popping into my head, and that is confidence and certainty. You see, the very beginning of our faith is to have confidence. It's believing in God's character, that He is who He says He is. And then the ending part of faith is believing in God's promises, that He will do what He says He will do. And we can see that throughout the rest of Hebrews chapter 11, everybody it mentions had a different quality of faith, had a different expectation of faith. They had a different confidence in each thing. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. Does our faith have confidence? And does it have certainty that it needs to? Just like some of these people that's illustrated here. These are some of the qualities that I think our faith should have. These three qualities are obedience, action when called upon, and lastly, a hope for something better. You see, faith is confidence in God. It goes on in verse 4, "By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he attained a testimony, testifying that he was righteous of his gifts, and through it, being dead, he still speaks." By faith, he offered something to God. And I've got some notes in my Bible from listening to Brother Clarence DeLoach, and he said, faith is so many things, but the very first thing we see is faith is in offering something to God. You see, when we offer something to God, we offer Him something of ourselves, that we have confidence in Him, that He has done what we read about in the Bible, that He spoke the world into being. He said, "Let there be light." And then He separated the light from the darkness, and then He said, "It is good." And He goes on, and we see that He creates all things. And over time, everything was good. And He puts it into perspective that even the first people, and we see that Cain and Abel both brought offerings, but one offered something more. He offered a more excellent sacrifice than the other. And He brought a testimony. We also see faith in walking. Our daily lives, we are constantly walking around, and we come into contact with people. And it says, "By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had the testimony that he pleased God." And we know that back in Genesis it says that Enoch walked with God. So when we look at our faith, do we have the faith that walks with God? Do we have that faith that we not only talk the talk, but we also walk the walk of our faith? But the three main ones I want us to talk about tonight is Abraham, Noah, and Moses. So if you have your Bibles, in verse 8 it says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. You see, we see that Abraham had that faith that he was called to do something. He was called to action. In the very first thing that we see, if you open up to Genesis chapter 12, we see that faith put into action. Starting in verse 1 of chapter 12, it says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" But in verse 4, we see that God has told Abram, get up and get out. You're going to go somewhere where you don't know where you're going. And sometimes that's very scary, isn't it? With my day job, I am always on the road, going to and from all sorts of places, and sometimes even going to new places. I know that this next week I'm going to a few new car lots that I've never been to before. And luckily I've got GPS. We have our phones that have navigation on them. But here, Abram is called to go out to a place that God's going to show him. God is going to provide him the assistance to get to where he's going. And verse 4 says, "So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken. And Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and all the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. And Abraham passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Morah. And the Canaanites were then in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your descendants I will give you this land.' And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him." You see, we see that Abraham was called to go out. And he was 75 years old. See, most of the times when we leave our house, our parents' house, we're usually between the ages of 18 to 30. Especially nowadays, some are older than that. But most of the time, when we go out on our own for the first times, we're going to college, or we're going into the workforce, or we're moving for a job, but we're going out from our parents' house, and it's a scary feeling. And we're going somewhere where maybe we don't know. But here, Abram was 75 years old. Can you imagine at that point in time in your life being told to get up from where you're at and to go somewhere else? But if you do this, that you will be a blessing. You will be blessed, and I will bless those who you come into contact with. As Christians, that's something we are called to do. We are called to action. We are called to go into all the world to teach those about Christ. But it goes on in Hebrews chapter 11, says, "By faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." You see, he had that faith to understand that when God said, "Go out and I will make you a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you," that he had that faith, that confidence, and that certainty that God is who he says he is, and that he would give what he said he's going to give. And he goes and he lives in this land as in a foreign country. But he waited for a city whose foundations and builder and maker is God. As Christians, that's what we do. We wait on that city whose building and foundation is made by God. We are called to go out. We are called to action. You see, that is a big thing. When we are called to action, we respond in the appropriate manner, and God blesses us. In Genesis chapter 13, starting in verse 14, God said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, "Lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise and walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you." Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth tree of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. You see, God called him to action. God called him to get up and to go, and he had that faith, that confidence, and certainty to do that. And because he understood that God would reward him if he did it in the appropriate manner, God blesses him. Just as God given Abraham an inheritance of the land of Canaan, he also gives us an inheritance. He says that as Christians, I'm going to prepare a place for you. He says, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come and take you unto myself again. You see, we can have that faith that we need to get up and get out. We can have that faith because we are called to action. We also see that going on, we see Noah. By faith, verse 7, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, he prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. You see, we understand that Noah obeyed God. Abraham understood God and was called to action, to get up and get out. But Noah was called to obedience. You see, we always look at obedience as a big thing. In Genesis chapter 6, it says, "And the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." In verse 8. But it goes on, "And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch." And he goes on to give exact dimensions of how Noah was to make this ark. And he was obedient. You see, Noah was in a dry area. And here Noah's called to make a great big boat. Make an ark, because I am going to flood the earth. So he obeys God because he has faith. He has confidence and certainty in what he's hearing, that he can understand what needs to be done, just like we today are told exactly what we must do if we want to be saved as well. You see, Noah knew when God said, "I am going to destroy the earth, but if you will make this ark, you and your family shall be saved." And he obeyed that word. And we are told that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life if we obey what he says to do. And we see that tonight our brother John has obeyed just exactly what God has said to do. It goes on in chapter 7. After it says Noah had done all according to that God had commanded him, so he did. But in verse 7, or chapter 7, It says, "Then the Lord said to Noah, 'Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation.'" Because of his obedience to what God had commanded him to do, God counted him righteous for his obedience. And it goes on in verse 10, God's still talking to him. It says, "And it came to pass after the 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the foundations of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And on that very same day, Noah, Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife and their three wives of his sons were with them, entered the ark." Because of Noah's obedience to God's word to build an ark, that God was going to cause this great flood to come on, he was able to save his entire family because of his obedience. So as Christians, we are to be obedient. We should have that confidence and that certainty in what God says to be able to obey it, to understand what he says. Are we living the way that God takes notice of us? See, Noah lived in a time when every intent and every thought of man was on wicked continually, it says. But it says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So that leads us to believe our faith can cause God to see us if we are living that way, if we continually live the way that God has told us to, if we obey his will. Are we living the way that other people can see God through us? Or are other people influencing us to just live the way they are? See, as Christians, we should have that confidence and certainty to live in a manner well-pleasing to God. But we go on in chapter 11. It says, by faith, in verse 23, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. And by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the riches and the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who delivered the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned." You see, by faith, Moses was able to lead God's people back to the land of Canaan. You see, we look at that and we see the confidence and the certainty. Now, did Moses always have that confidence and certainty to listen to God's word? Sometimes I think I'm right there with Moses. If you have your Bibles, open to Exodus chapter 3. And this is where I think sometimes we want to grow our faith. It says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, 'I will now turn aside and see this great sight of why this bush does not burn.'" You see, Moses left Egypt because he had killed one of the taskmasters that was being mean to one of his brethren. And he got up and left. So now he's living with his father-in-law, Jethro, and he is out tending his sheep. And he sees this bush that's on fire, but it's not being burned. And God speaks to him. And God says, "Moses, I'm going to send you back to save my people." And here's where sometimes I feel like I'm more like Moses. Who, me? Who am I that I should go back to Egypt? Who am I that I... Do you not know I came from Egypt? God, you know all things and know that I'm probably a wanted man there, that I shouldn't go back. And he says, to Moses says to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the children of Israel out? And God tells him, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you when you have brought the people out of Egypt, and you shall serve God on this mountain. But he goes on a second time, and Moses said to God again, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, and they, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And over, five times, Moses comes up with different strategies to get out of this. Different strategies, different excuses of why he shouldn't be the one to go and save God's people. But God finally tells him, have faith. Have that confidence, because I am with you. I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. And that's the same thing that he tells Joshua over and over as Joshua takes over after Moses. But it goes on in chapter 4, in verse 18. So Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, please let me go and return to my brethren who are in Egypt and see whether they are still alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. He finally, after all his excuses had been rubbed away by God, had been talked away, he finally goes. He finally obeys and has that confidence and certainty that God is going to be with me, that God is going to do what he says he's going to do. So that's what faith is. And when we have that faith, just like in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but they have seen them afar off and were assured of them. They embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind the country from which they had come out, they would have the opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he has prepared a city for them. You see, when we have that confidence and certainty in our faith, and we realize that here we are just straying pilgrims, as the song says, we have a better homeland. We have a better city that is prepared for us by our God and Father, and that our Lord and Savior Jesus will come and collect us back to him. See, when we have that faith, that confidence in God, that he is who he says he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, our faith will grow and take us to the next level, to that level of being with God in heaven. But my favorite part about all this is the very next chapter. Chapter 12, verse 1, it says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. He's saying, as Christians, we have all these people that we talked about before us. They are a cloud of witnesses that we can look and see what they did, that the confidence and the certainty of their faith, that we can have that same confidence, that same certainty. Just like a runner, when he has trained and prepared for a race, he can run that. I know Ethan is a runner, quite an accomplished runner at that. and he takes time to train. He takes time to practice, to run, and has been setting some personal best, some personal records. But you see, you don't just get out there and run a first race. Because if you're anything like me, I get out there and run, and I might make it a quarter mile, maybe. I might make it a half a mile if I'm really lucky. And then I'm doubled over trying to catch my breath and got side stitches and pains, and my knees are aching. But when we have that confidence in our faith, and we understand that those that have come before us are our cloud of witnesses, we can lay aside every weight, every sin that so easily ensnares us, and we can run that race with endurance. We can run it and be looking unto Jesus, as it says in verse 2, because he is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, Jesus came to this earth and lived a life for us that we'd have an example to follow. And he gave his life so freely so that others could have that hope of an eternal life with him through our faith in Jesus Christ. Have you examined your faith in light of these qualities? Do you have that certainty, that confidence in your faith that God has not only gave us an inheritance, but he's called us to action, and we've obeyed that action, and then we can have that hope of something so much better than this life has to offer? We have that hope of a life spent with God, worshiping him. You see, as Christians, we've all obeyed the gospel, and we are called to actively spread that gospel everywhere we go. And that is because of that great hope of eternal life with God. That's that hope that we'll go to that land where there's no more tears, there's no more sorrows, but we'll be comforted by God, our Father, and Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Do you have that confidence in your faith? Have you put Christ on in baptism? If not, everything is prepared. We can do that for you tonight. Or maybe you don't have the confidence in your faith. Maybe you need prayers for strength. Maybe you need us to lift you up and to be there for you and to help you through that. If there's anything we can do for you, please come as we stand and as we sing.